Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I thank you for being with us again today. You know, when we started out a couple of weeks ago, we started out to begin with on the price that was paid for your salvation, because many people in the church still don't understand the fullness of the price that was paid. Number one, that they got saved, and number two, that they stay saved. Sometimes I think it's harder for God to keep us saved than it was to save us in the first place. How amazing was that amazing grace when first we heard it, but then slowly we begin to forget about it, and things begin to slip in, and the old ways begin to come back again. And that causes us a need to be vigilant. To be vigilant in accordance to the Word of God, and to begin to study the Word of God, to show ourselves as one who need not be ashamed, but rather by the Word of God can walk after the Spirit and can walk with the Spirit and understand that which God is doing in our life. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, there are two things, really. One is, years ago, people used to say, we are looking for the last days. I do not believe that. We are not looking for the last days. We're looking at the last days. There's a difference. We ain't looking for them. We're looking at them. Think about this, if you would. People say, is Jesus going to come before the rapture, in the middle of the rapture, after the rapture? I don't care when he comes, as long as he takes me with him when he leaves. But rather than worrying about when he's coming, worry about whether or not you're going with him when he leaves. That's what's important, and that's what the people forget. They seem to concentrate on all sorts of other things, but they forget about following and obeying, and that's what I want to talk about today, obedience unto the Word of God. Obedience unto the Word of God. Now, that is one of the very first things that God begins to minister to us. It is the very last thing he's ministering to us. Because all this time, through all these steps, all these trips around the mountain, we can't seem to get it. Obedience unto the Word of God. Let me tell you how hard obedience unto the Word of God is. I will tell you something right now, that given the situation today, I'm talking to you out there in television land, listen to me. I'm talking about your eternity, time without end, in the pits of hell, which is beyond what God created our mind to understand, or in the glories of heaven. Eternity, time without end, it will never end. Never end. The suffering will never end. The pain will never end. The misery will never end, where the worm never dies, where the fire never goes out. You know, since the day I got saved, I have never been able to look at a bonfire, or like when we used to rake up the leaves during the day, and then towards evening we start a little fire and light them and maybe have a hot dog roast there. I have never been able to look at those burning coals without thinking about hell, without thinking about literally bodies floating up and down and around in that lake of fire but yet a lake of fire that is so dark, so black, you can't see beyond the end of your nose. You can't see anything. You can hear all the screaming. You can hear all the moaning. You can hear all the agonizing, but you can't see anything. I can't imagine. My mind can't grasp what that would be, the hopelessness. The hopelessness. Just that alone, the hopelessness. Because at one time, you seen Jesus, just before the end, you seen Jesus gather all of his children together in his arms, and you seen them back off into the galaxies, and then all of a sudden, he blew up the earth, the heavens, the atmosphere. It blew up. You ever been at a 4th of July celebration? Well, especially in the United States, you go to the 4th of July and the fireworks go off and you hear all the oohs and ahs. Woo! Wasn't that beautiful? You know, you hear all that. Can you imagine when God takes all of his children, gets them all together under his arms, backs away from the universe, because that's what the Bible said is going to happen, going to back away from the universe, and he's going to say, watch this, kids, and he's going to blow it all up at once. You want to know that's going to be a big woo and a big wow, because I'm going to be the loudest right up front. Wow, God, wow, as he blows up everything, and then begins to rebuild it again. That, to me, is awesome even to think about it. But the worst thought in my mind, the worst thing I can conceive, I'm not the brightest man around, I'm certainly not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but even at that, the Word of God says two people will be in a field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two people will be in bed, one will be taken, one will be left. I cannot imagine the horror. I really can't. My mind won't grasp this. I can't imagine the horror of suddenly the guy next to you, who you know is a born-again Christian walking with God, following the Holy Spirit of God, and suddenly he's gone. And suddenly you begin to look around and the very few you knew, and believe me, baby, it's few, very, very few, remnant, look that up sometime and see what it is, the remnant has disappeared. And you run to a phone, and believe me, you'll be able to find one. They're not going to be out of order. They're not going to be busy. And you call somebody that you know was right with God. That crazy person that talked about Jesus all the time. Crazy person that lived by faith. And you call them and you can't get any answer at their home. And you call maybe the two or three on the whole world that you knew. And none of their phones answer. They're gone. And by that night or by that morning, depending on where you live in the world, the newspapers will have come up with a story as to what happened to him. Now, I don't know what that story will be, but I'm sure they'll come up with a dandy. And you will want so badly to believe that. You will want with everything within you to believe it, but you will know better. Because in here, in your spirit, you will know that God has come and gotten them, and you'll know that you're still here. You'll know that not only didn't you go anywhere, you ain't going anywhere. You want some proof of that? Write to me. I'll send you the scriptures. But you ain't going nowhere. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine the horror that would be. I cannot imagine what you would feel inside. But I can understand how you will believe whatever they will tell you, because you want to believe it. You have to believe it. Because anything short of that is insanity. And you know it. You gotta believe it. No matter how crazy it is, you gotta believe it. Because you can't even allow that other thought to enter your head. You cannot allow that other thought that all of these people have been taken to be with Jesus. And for 7 years, you're going to be alone here. In the last 3.5 years, if that's the way it goes, you're going to live here with the Antichrist and with the worst conditions the world has ever seen. You know, the Word of God said that the earth has never seen such a time. If you put Adolf Hitler, Attila the Hun, and all of the rest of the really nasties and crazies and insane people together from throughout history, put them all together at once, it would be a good day. It would be a Sunday picnic compared to what it's going to be those last 3.5 years. If God himself did not intervene and come down, there'd be no flesh left. That's how bad it's going to be. It's going to get so hot, think about this, so hot, they're going to chew their own tongue out. I can't imagine chewing your own tongue out. That's kind of smart. Chew your own tongue out and curse God with what's left. Now that is a bright individual. Chew his own tongue out and curse God with what's left. Because he, being given salvation free, being given the Holy Spirit free, being given the water of Christ freely, would not obey. Because of the hardness of their heart and because they loved their sin more than God. I've lost track of the people who have told me I love God. Yes, but you love your sin just a little bit more than you love God. And you're willing to pay that ultimate price than to be obedient unto God. For over 30 years, I have served God in the ministry of the preaching of his word. Now, I've shared my testimony before, and I won't bore you today with it. I won't get into it today, except to say this. A little over 30 years ago, I made a deal with Jesus. I didn't know at that time you didn't make deals with God. But anyway, I made a deal with Jesus. I said, Lord, I'll go any place you tell me to go. I don't care where it is. Head-hunting country, any place. God forsaken place, even where there's snakes, because I'm scared to death of snakes. But I'll go, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll say whatever you tell me to say. I don't care how big the guy is. I'll say whatever you tell me to tell him. Many times has God tested me on that. And I personally believe I have been to every ghetto, every slum, every hole in the wall, every place you can think of like that in this world. And the few I haven't been to, we are scheduled to go to in the next 2 years. But one thing I said in our deal was this. I said, God, I will not. Don't ever say that to God. Don't ever say that to God. I had just got saved a few minutes ago, and I was ignorant. I didn't know any better. I said, God, I will not beg or ask for money. Because if you can't pay my bills, I don't want to work for you. Now, in 30 years, we have never taken an offering. We have never asked for an offering. And I have no intention of ever asking for an offering. Because when the day comes that God can't pay my bills anymore, it means one of two things. Either God went broke or he don't want me doing that thing anymore. Either one of them is sufficient for me to find something else to do. And I said, God, all I want you to do is you speak to those people that you want to support us, and you talk to them and not me, because I will never, ever ask for money. We never have, and we have never, ever had a need. Never. I drive a van that's about 10, 12 years old. I have three married sons. Each one of them drives a vehicle that's a late model vehicle. My one son has a quite old vehicle, but that's of his own choosing. It's an antique vehicle, an old Mustang that he had won, and him and his wife are repairing it. But we live in a nice home. We have a beautiful roof over our head. We have, like I say, nice vehicles to drive. You can tell by looking at me, I've never missed a meal. I could have done without a few, but I didn't. God has never had us to go without. For the word of the Lord says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. You see, I'm one of them people that I'm just so stupid, I am so foolish, that I believe absolutely, totally, unequivocally, without a doubt, the Word of God. I believe it. If it says it, I believe it. If God said it and it's consistent, I believe it. He said, I am the Lord thy God that supplies all of thy needs. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, if you look that up, the actual is the expansion. Seek the expansion of the kingdom of God. In other words, evangelize, minister, preach the gospel, tell people about Christ, and all these other things will be added unto you. You don't have to say nothing. All these other things will be added unto you. And after all these years, I want to stand here in front of God and in front of man, and I want to tell you I am living proof that God, who cannot lie, does not lie. His word is truth. His word is Jesus. What Jesus says, Jesus does. Jesus says he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. Jesus says he's going to heal you. He's going to heal you. Now, on every promise of God, as we talked a little bit the other day, there is a prerequisite. You need to follow the prerequisite. Now, before anybody gets the wrong impression, please, right here at this point, let me state this. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. Please hear me. I am not a faith, name it, and claim it preacher. I do not believe in that. That did not come from the Word of God. It came from the pits of hell in about 2 dozen people that Satan has got, who have become millionaires off of it. And I will give you their names later on, and I will give you their addresses, and I will give you their quotes, and I will give you their prophecies, which did not come to pass. I will prove beyond any doubt they are false prophets, that God did not send them. And most of the people, the greatest majority of the people, 99% of the people who follow him today, will still follow them after I prove to you beyond any doubt that God did not send them. Why? You say to yourself, why? Why would anybody be that crazy? Because they will gather around them a large number of teachers saying what their itching ears want to hear. They want to hear that. They want to hear that they're going to be famous, that they're going to be rich, that they're going to be wealthy, that they're going to always be in perfect health. It ain't gonna happen. Not now, not ever. Because it's not in the Word of God. And I will show that to you beyond any doubt. The only one who is going to get rich is Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and a few of the others. Look at Benny. What a swell fellow. I like Benny. I really do. I like Benny because Benny's got a sense of humor. I like a preacher with a sense of humor. Benny will come out one day and say, "The Lord showed me we had one God." I heard him say that with my own two ears. The Jews are absolutely correct. A few days later, he came out on the Beelzebub Network, the TBN, and he said, "The Lord has shown me now, I have proof. I have the videotapes of the days that he prophesied this, of the time that he said it. I have the proof. I did my homework. We have six gods. There are six gods. It went from one to six. I don't know how that happened, but it was good for a chuckle. But the greatest chuckle was yet to come. Because about a week later, he came out, heard this with my own ears. Gladly send you the tape, love to. Wish I could afford to send about 4 million of them out. He says, "I have a revelation from God. For all these thousands of years, the Word of God has been wrong. All these theologians have been wrong. All these great men and women of God have been wrong. We have nine gods." Now, by this time, I figure God's got to be having babies. That's the only way this can be happening. Because every time I close my eyes to take a nap, there's a half a dozen more gods being born somewhere. About that time, I had about as many chuckles as I could take that week, so I had to turn it off, and I left off with nine gods. I got no idea how many we have now. I do know these people live in like a $5 million mansion of your money. That they fly in their own private, paid for, cash on the barrelhead Lear jet with you bought them. And I ask myself, God, who's the dumbest one of the group? The one living in the $5 million estate, or the one who bought them the $5 million estate? Guess what the answer is? Oh, God. Lord God, but that we had some discernment in the church. I would not be unhappy if God took every gift out of the church, every supernatural gift. If he took away the miracles, and I've seen a lot of them. I love miracles. I'm into them. If God took them away, if he took away the healing, took away the speaking in tongues, took away the prophecy, took away the words of knowledge, took away everything and replaced it with a little bit of discernment, just a little bit. If faith, as small as a mustard seed, can move a mountain or a mulberry bush, Imagine what a little bit of discernment could do. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just a little bit of discernment, not a whole lot. You know, we could kind of be like, the Bible speaks about a really strange group of people. I mean, weird people. They were called the Bereans. And you know what they did? How silly these people were? They went and listened to the Apostle Paul, and then they went home and they studied their Bible, that they need not be ashamed, that they could stand approved before God. And they didn't just look at that part, they looked at what was before it and what was after it, and they made sure that it was in context, that it fit, that it was throughout, that it was the true word of God, and then and only then did they believe it. Oh, Lord God, what I would do for a church full of Bereans today. We need them. We need somebody to stand up in these churches and scream, Ichabod, the glory of God has departed. Read it. Yeah, when the glory of God departed, when the Ark of the Covenant disappeared, never did the church do better. They were wealthier. They had more money. They had more people. They had more going on during the time that God left than they ever had when God was there. Look at the church today. Ichabod, the glory of God has departed. It's not there anymore. There was a time the apostles were on their way to pray, and they met a man who was sick, laying there. And he was asking for alms, he was asking for help, and they said, gold and silver have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, walk. And in the name of Jesus, he got up and walked.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.